Hi, welcome to Stanlib's weekly economic podcast. My name is Kevin Lings and I'm the chief economist within Stanlib. The intention with these weekly podcasts is to unpack some of the key economic developments that have unfolded over the past week. And I think for this week, we need to start off with a focus on the US government shutdown. It remains in place. It's been in place for 20 odd days. And obviously, it's starting to become quite disruptive. So I think we can maybe revisit the shutdown and some of the economic consequences of that. The second topic is South African retail sales for the month of August. The data clearly disappointed to the downside. In the prior months, retail sales was quite strong. So I think it might be useful to get a quick update on what's happening to consumer spending.
The US government shutdown has now been in place for more than 20 days, and I think soon will be the second longest in the history of US government shutdowns. The data started in 1976. The longest shutdown actually occurred in 2018. That lasted 35 days. And it's entirely feasible that this shutdown ends up lasting a similar amount. There doesn't seem to be a resolution in sight. The US Senate has voted 10 times already to try and resolve the shutdown. And none of those votes got to the 60 votes that you need in order to end or get a resolution. So it continues on this week, and I think more than that, you're not really seeing the emergence of some sort of compromise between the Republican Party and the Democrats, and so it could remain in place for quite some time. It's obviously starting to be quite disruptive. There are many people within the US government that obviously stay at home on a daily basis, simply don't go into work, and none of the US government officials are paid. And so over time, that can become very disruptive to the household sector and obviously to economic performance. The assumption is that when the shutdown ends and US government employees go back to work, then they will receive back pay for the amount of time they were not at work. And obviously that back pay would then, most of it would probably go back into the US economy and provide a kind of mini boost. But in the meantime, it is disruptive for those people impacted in terms of their monthly expenses, and not all of them would have additional funds they can draw on in order to just see them through for the period of a month. There's also many US government officials that are paid every 2 weeks, and so that has already become a disruptive impact. The other area that is causing a problem is the lack of economic data. The US government departments produce a huge amount of economic data, and we just haven't had any of those updates in the last 2 weeks. And it's a huge array of data. So if you think about it, retail sales, no update, consumer inflation, producer inflation, industrial production, construction spending, factory orders, the employment data, international trade, housing starts, the leading economic indicator, all of those haven't been produced, and they would have in the last 2 weeks. So that means we're not really able to analyze how the US economy is performing. And clearly that matters. It matters in terms of market performance. Also matters in terms of policy direction. The Federal Reserve meets at the end of the month, and they would ideally want to make a well-informed decision. But at this stage, they're not going to have the type of information they would typically have. The U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics has said that they will make a special effort to produce the U.S. Consumer inflation data this week. It was supposed to come out on the 15th of October, so it's already been delayed. But they've indicated they will bring people back into work in order to get that data release distributed. But even with that, it's clear that this is far from ideal, and therefore a whole lot of analysis will have to wait until the US government shutdown resumes. It does start to have an impact on the performance of the US economy. Initially, it's not all that noticeable, but the longer the shutdown lasts, then you have to start to revise down your growth estimate. At this stage, we work on more or less every 1 week of the shutdown takes away 0.1% of US GDP growth. And that may not sound significant, but clearly if you're in a shutdown for a month or more, then it starts to become meaningful and could result in downward revisions to US economic performance at a time when clearly the US economy is trying to gain momentum, is trying to cut interest rates and get confidence a little bit higher. So this is far from ideal, but as I said in the introduction, it doesn't feel as if a resolution is imminent. We'll watch how the voting proceeds during the course of this week, but I wouldn't be surprised if we get to the end of the week and we still don't have a decision in sight on how to end
the shutdown. South Africa released South Africa's retail sales for the month of August last week, and it was disappointing. During the month, retail sales declined by 1.2% month on month, and over the past year, it remains positive at 2.3% growth, but that's quite a bit lower than the growth rate it has been kind of tracking. If you look at July, retail sales was growing at 5.7% real. So a very meaningful slowdown in retail activity. I think in order to understand that slowdown, I think we've got to understand where the initial boost in retail sales came from. If you look at retail sales since October last year, they've accelerated quite dramatically. And that growth rate has been way in excess of what you would have anticipated, and certainly way in excess of what the broader economy is doing. The reason appears to be simply the two-pot withdrawal that has gone into shopping. If we look at the various components that could well boost retail activity, many of those components just haven't been supportive. For example, if we look at formal sector employment, that's generally been under pressure in recent months. If I look at the growth in household credit, that has actually slowed. If we look at all the banks taken together, there is a moderation in the granting of credit. That doesn't mean that every bank is pulling back. I know Capitec remains fairly aggressive in the granting of credit, but the banking sector as a whole has been a bit more conservative. If we look at disposable income, it has been positive because inflation has been more under control, but that hasn't been enough in order to really explain the stronger retail sales that persisted in the first 6-7 months of the year. So for me, the main explanation is the two-pot withdrawal. In total, that is in excess of 60 billion. That was up until June, July this year. Obviously, we've had further withdrawals since then. And I think, unfortunately, a lot of those two-pot withdrawals have gone into shopping. I know the surveys are suggesting that a lot of that money has been used to repay debt or pay school fees, but I think those surveys aren't being entirely transparent on where that money is actually going. And I think there's no doubt that a significant portion, not all of it, but a significant portion has gone into retail activity. The August number is therefore quite interesting because the decline in August was a lot more severe than anticipated. And it does suggest to me that the two-pot withdrawals are fading. In other words, you've got to expect that as the year progresses, there's going to be less funds being withdrawn out of the system, simply because, yes, you had an initial flurry of withdrawals, but on an ongoing basis, individuals are only really able to withdraw a third of their monthly savings, if you like. And so I guess that becomes quite limited relative to the initial amount consumers could withdraw. And so I'm expecting that we're going to see retail sales soften. That doesn't mean that we go into a distinct downturn, but I think it's not going to be quite as buoyant as it's been recently. Obviously, we have got the Black Friday sales coming up in the end of the year Christmas season, and that's normally a fairly substantial boost for retail activity. And so there's no reason to expect that that won't occur, but I'm anticipating that the overall run rate of retail activity will soften somewhat as we head into the end of the year. And I suspect that during the early part of next year, it's going to be tougher going. Obviously, if at some point we are able to meaningfully boost employment, particularly formal sector employment, and we see further cuts in interest rates, then you would anticipate that will show up in consumer spending more broadly. But I think given the strong phase that we've gone through, given that two-pot clearly played a role, we have to be realistic and anticipate that over the next 6 months, retail sales will not be quite as buoyant as what it has been.
That's all from me for this week. Hope it makes some sense, and we'll catch up again next week. Please remember that Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider in terms of the FASE Act. Also, this podcast should not be construed as advice.